Now, stay with me right here, y'all. Get your Bibles out very fast. And I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And I need some time to do it. And so it's 11:18. That gives me a little more or a little less than 45 minutes to share a message that God put on my heart. And I want to deliver it to you. For anybody that's needing the title of this, the title is, He is Able. Say that with me, everybody. Say, He is able, because He is. Now, in Ephesians chapter 3, I love the scripture that we're going to be going to in verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, here's what it says. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations. It says forever and ever, and then it uses the word that means so be it, called amen. So say amen. Because really that's why you say amen, is because you're ending the prayer, so be it. Amen. I stand on that prayer. Amen, praise God. But a lot of people pray with really no belief. And I, this morning, want to convince you that God is able. So listen carefully. Because we're going to define a few things in this one scripture that really, number one, we need to trust God in everything. Now, if I went across this group, this congregation, you people, and ask you to give me a testimony of what you've been through, not what you're in, but what you've been through, I'm sure I would have some wild things that you've been through. How God brought you out of some things. And testimonies are a wonderful thing. Maybe we'll do some sometime. But having a testimony is a great thing as long as you got victory. As long as you know that God was able to get you through the valley of the shadow of death. God was able to get you through the trial, the tribulation. But hopefully there's no one in here or watching that is still right in the middle of a major trial and tribulation. But if you are, this message is for you. If you've been through one, this message is for you to teach someone else that may be going through a tough period in their life. Marriages are being attacked like I've never seen. People getting in the flesh that were serving God one minute and away from Him the next. I'm not saying that they're going to go to hell, because if they've got the helmet of salvation on and Jesus is their Lord, then thank God for that. But a lot of times, based on what you do sin-wise, you don't inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I've had to explain this over and over and over. And religiously, if you're in a religious type denomination, and I say religion because God does not like religion, because religion is doing something because mama did it and grandmama did it and great-grandmama did it. And what it does is it becomes a tradition of, this is how I'm going to do it. Well, be careful with that, because you're supposed to, if Jesus is Lord, you're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. And if God says to do something different, not different in the Word of God, but maybe go around that wall seven times, then you do what God says and not because there was a tradition of how you served the Lord. No. Be led by the Spirit of God because you're sons and daughters of God. But with that saying, you have to also understand that when we do go through a trial and tribulation, the key word is go through it. Get through whatever it is. And don't live by a religious way of doing. But a lot of times, people have the helmet of salvation on, but really don't. They're not convinced that God's able. And I'm here to tell you, God's able. He's able to do anything that you ask or think. Okay? But the key is, number one, is you got to trust Him. In these days, going through whatever we go through, and again, the attacks on all kinds of things, marriage, health. Oh, wow. They're not here this morning, but Roger, after last week's message, you know, and praise God, you know, what God puts on my heart is a blessing to people's ears, and it touched his heart, but he sent me a message and says, man, you won't believe that they're the crazy cancer that's going on in the world today and how it's multiplying. He said, just common things that can be treated, you know, that someone had stage 1 or 2 cancer 1 minute. He said, like, for some reason right now, it's magnifying speedily, fast. And he said, there's people that are going from stage 2 to 5 in a matter of weeks, where used to it take years to do that. Well, what do we do about that? Do we just have this thinking that, well, it's just part of the end times, which it is? Or is there some hope? Do we just need to praise God we have the helmet of salvation on and we get to go to heaven when we die? And if we do die of sickness and disease, praise God, at least we won't be sick in heaven. Or would we dare trust God here on this earth and have heaven here? And have some bold enough preachers to actually not be afraid to preach this word of God from the front of the Bible to the back of it. And start trying to convince people that God's able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. But we've got to figure out exactly what a lot of this stuff means. So, number one, when you dissect this verse 20, then the first 3 words is very important. Now to Him. And you got to figure out who Him is. That's God. You've got to trust in your God if you know Him. If He's the Lord of your life, then you got that's the way you know Him. Now you get more of a knowing by getting into the Word of God and not just playing church, not just living like hell last night or the night before, but actually living for God all your life. Because if you do, watch success come. If you don't, yes, that's when you give room to the devil in Ephesians. But the Bible says give no place to that stinking devil. Well, it doesn't say stinking, but it's an add-on for me. And the Lord understands. I'm not trying to change the word, but it's just how I talk. Don't you give the devil a place. So when you're around people or places that doesn't build you up and doesn't lead you to the Lord, then I would suggest finding other places to be and other people to hang out with. In other words, now don't get me wrong, I've always said this. You already ought to always have a heathen friend. But the only reason you should have a heathen friend is to get them saved, not go down to their level, get them born again, and then get another heathen friend. And get them saved, get them delivered, get them set free, and then go get another heathen friend. Amen. Is there any heathen friends in here? I'm kidding. All right, so God is the one that is able. So it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly. Now let's stop there. And let's talk about some of these words. Let's do both of them, because it says exceedingly abundantly. We need to figure out what these words mean. Exceedingly is pretty understandable. But abundantly, you can go to John 10:10, and everybody majors on the first part of John 10 that says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We know that's the devil's job, right? But man, we've got to start majoring on the next part of the scripture that says Jesus came. The devil came for that, but Jesus came. I said Jesus came that we might have a life and a more abundant life. Abundance is a large quantity of something. It's plentifulness of the good things of life. Abundance is prosperity. Don't get all upset over prosperity. My Lord, you need it. I need it. I think, you know why all of my counseling sessions deal with finances more than anything? Even if they start out in health, with health reasons. The health reasons can always be traced back to people not tithing because I don't have enough money to tithe. I mean, I've heard all those excuses. The obedience of no, I am a tither, because if I'm a tither, the Bible says that God rebukes the curse. If I'm a tither, he opens the window. And I wasn't even going to mention the tithing, but it's a big part of finances that then deal with health issues. Because worry causes the body to break down. Now, don't get me wrong, because I minister to lots of millionaires as well because of the pressure of the business. And so it's not the quantities of finances. It's either not having it and it's causing stress, or having it causing too much stress. And I mean, it's like a vicious cycle. But prosperity is what God wants us. He just wants us to have money, but money not to have us. Because then it's a terrible thing. The love of money is the root of all evil. No. I want abundance. I want plentifulness of the good things of life. That's what God says I'm able to do for you and for me. Have abundance. God's promised wealth. This is what the Bible says when you study it out. When you define the word abundant, it literally is defined God's promised wealth and abundance overflowing. Remember Luke 6:38? It says if you'll give, that it'll be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. You know what running over is? Overflowing. God wants to overflow the good things in your life. That's why he says, now unto him who is able to exceedingly abundantly. And then it says this, above all. When you study out above all, I want you to just hold your place here just for a second. And to your left, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians. And listen, start bringing your Bible. If you're born again, you got to get a Bible. We'll help you get one. But that's your manual. And you'll be able to go to these scriptures and not just get preached to, but receive every bit of it so that you can go back home and then check all this stuff out, you see. Your word is very important to especially a believer. Now look at 1 Corinthians and go to chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, 1 Corinthians 2, and then go to verse 9. Look what it says. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. In other words, we need to start learning what God's prepared for us, because a lot of times we don't know what God has prepared for us. Eye's not seen it. Ear has not heard it. But yet, God's prepared some great things for you and I. Did you realize we're his heir and a joint heir with Jesus? That means every promise of God is for the believer. You know why? He's able. God's able. Man, he's able to get you out of your addiction. He's able to get you out of the pressures that pull you down, called strongholds. Man, he's able to do exceedingly above all. Man, when you understand that and you've understood what God's prepared for you, then there's nothing under heaven. Because, man, he's above all. There's nothing under heaven that can hold you down. Glory be to God. All right, look at this. Then it goes on to say, back to Ephesians chapter 4. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Asking first, flip over back to Matthew chapter 7. You flip over to Matthew chapter 7 and check out what he says. Ask, verse 7, ask, it'll be given unto you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it'll be open. You see, there's something about asking. The word says you have not because you ask not. I had a boy call yesterday. His wife was breakaway roping at Dodge City, Kansas last night. And great couple. She's been to the national finals in the breakaway roping in Las Vegas. And so she's an elite roper. Been through college. Her husband is a rodeo coach in New Mexico. And he calls me and says, hey, you got a minute to talk? And his wife had been going through a slump. She hadn't won anything. They'd been out there spending a lot of money. Her confidence was down. And he called me so that they can just ask for some wisdom. Well, you know, when they ask me for wisdom, I always turn to the Word of God. Because that's where the true wisdom is, not just from my opinion. And she was beat up, so she was contemplating, feeling like God wanted her to go home. And her husband, on the other hand, that wasn't in the emotional state as her, was trying to convince her that she's only $11,000 or $12,000 out of making the finals. And this is the last run. September, October, what are we in? August? It's the last of the rodeos to make the national finals. So if you're on what we call the bubble, you're below 15th and down. Or if you're around 14th or 15th, I mean, you better get going. And he's trying to convince her that it's not time to go. Don't you dare give up, girl. But she was saying God was kind of convincing her, because that's kind of where we go a lot of times when things aren't going right. Well, I think God's wanting me to just go on home. And he's saying, oh, no, that's an emotional thing. Why don't we gain some wisdom? Let's just ask. And that's what James chapter 1 says. If you lack wisdom, ask God for wisdom. He'll give it to you liberally. Upright. That's what I told him, really. I said, well, listen, you don't ever make a decision on emotion. When you're right in the middle of the fire, it's not the time to try to decide on what to do. No, the Bible says when you've done all you can do to stand, keep standing, keep believing, keep understanding that God's able, praise God. He's an able God to get you out of that mess. Well, there were 18 girls up that morning when she was frustrated, there was only four calves that were terrible to draw, and she drew one of them and didn't do any good and was upset. So then when they called me and I built their faith up, I began to say, hey, look, you know God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. All she did was, and based on her husband, was just asking for some wisdom. And I said, but don't do anything on emotion. Just seek God. The peace of God that passes understanding is how you actually hear from God. When you have peace about something, then you know it's God. But if you're making a decision on emotion, it might not be. It might be a counter peace, a counterfeit peace, that the enemy's just trying to run you off of the call that you're, or the road that you're supposed to be on, the perfect will of God. I said, well, why don't you wait, calm down, chill out just for a second, trust in God, let me pray for you, and let's just believe that you're going to draw the best calf, because it's a two-header in Dodge City, Kansas. The ones that didn't do any good had to rope right after the slack that morning. The rest of them went last night where my daughter got to run in. You know, she made a good run yesterday morning. Her and Jamie are there, or were there. And then she ran fast enough where she got to run that night. Well, this girl didn't do any good on the first calf, so she's believing to draw a good calf when she's about to rope. And they told me, well, we're going to rope in about 45 minutes. He texts me back. My God is able, right? He texts me back and said, you know the calf that was the best one in the herd that she actually said, why can't I draw that calf? Is the calf she drew in the second round and was 2-5 and placed in the second round. And guess what happened? Everything changed. I need to keep going, you see. All she had to do is ask. Just ask God for some wisdom. Now, I'm not saying that there's not a time that you don't go home to get renewed and built back up, and if it's especially for financial reasons. What about think? God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. In other words, we got to start thinking right. Let me read you a scripture. If you want to write it down, do. And it's found in 1 Corinthians 2 again, but it's just a little bit further down, a few scriptures. 1 Corinthians 2. Come on, flip them. Flip them fast, boy. Okay, thank you. Good job, fingers. All the way down in 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Listen, the very first part of this was trust in God, right? Because he's able. You got to trust him. The second part is that he's able to do abundantly. And we understand that abundance, man, is like overflowing, plentifulness. And then above all, nothing under heaven can stop us, because it's not until we reach the sky. No, until we reach heaven, praise God. And then we have to understand that it's important to ask, but look about thinking. In other words, you got to start thinking right. What that girl didn't need yesterday is for us to say, yeah, you're sorry. You just ain't roping worth a dog. Yeah, you're a loser. But you realize the world, remember the first part of John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. That's his job. He wants you to think in your mind, to think in your mind that you're a loser, that you're ugly, that you're no good, that you're a sinner. And God's saying, no, you're not a sinner if you're saved by grace. You're a believer in Jesus Christ, been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, praise God. But we've got to start thinking right. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ. And here's the last part, ready? Flip back over to Ephesians 4. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So we got to ask and we got to think right. According to the, say it louder, according to the power that works in us. Listen to me. That's why we preach at this church that you got to find out who you are in Christ. You got the dunamis power living on the inside of you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, remember we talked about earlier, lives on the inside of you, brother. Ladies, look at me. Lives on the inside of you. The dunamis power of God. And here the scripture is teaching us that it's according to the power that works in us. In other words, power, the power, you know what the power is? Anybody want to guess? No, don't guess. I'll just tell you. The power is the word. God's word is the power that works in us. I'll read this one scripture that's found to the right of Ephesians here. When you find one T, you'll find all the T's of the Bible. 1 Thessalonians, right before Timothy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want to read this to you. It's 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. Look what it says. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you. And then it says this, who believe? In other words, let's start getting our faith up a little bit, you guys, because we have the power of God on the inside of us named Jesus, who is the Word, who became the Word. And I'm here to tell you, when you live by the Word, it'll get your thinking to start thinking like the Word. It'll get you to start asking for wisdom from the Word. You'll be able to get your faith up that to know that God's able. And I'm talking right in the middle of the fire. And I'm telling you, people are right in the middle of the fire right now in different areas. I mean, have a doctor tell you that you've got cancer. And not you, but I'm just touching you. And tell you something negative. You want to talk about fire. You better know that your God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think because of the power that lives on the inside of you. And man, when you tell the doctor like I did about Crohn's that I don't have that, I reject that in Jesus' name. Not that the fact was that they diagnosed me with Crohn's. I just decided to believe the truth of the Word of God more than the fact. And the truth of the word always overrides the fact. I just had to know that my God was able to do exceedingly. I've never taken a pill, y'all. Crohn's disease hadn't touched this body in 25 years now. Why? Because I was convinced that my God that says to him that's able to do above all. And I'm telling you, that's when manifestation comes, right in the middle of the fire. That's when you get on through the fire and you get to the promised land, which is on the other side. The blessing of God. Amen. I mean, you start getting excited. Even if you don't know much about Scripture, maybe Tipton don't know much about Scripture because he just gave his heart to Jesus. The greatest thing is there's the power of God that lives on the inside of him now. And he can start learning about that. And when there's temptation to do something wrong or the enemy trying to steal, kill, and destroy all of us, when you understand the power that lives on the inside of you, that God's able, whoo, that's when the devil starts running. That's when you start laughing and having the joy of the Lord right in the midst of all the junk. Amen. And then people are like, what's wrong with that lady? Why is she all laughing? I mean, hadn't y'all heard about what she's going through? They say that usually to me. But then people know the power that lives on the inside of you. Oh, Jesus. Then that, you know what they do? Hey, girl. My dog just bit me. And then you go, don't worry about it. Let's cast out that devil out of that dog.
There you go.
I don't know. That just came to my mind. Your God is able.
Amen.
Come on, y'all. I mean, what? Man, we need more churches preaching hope. Yes. Instead of fear, doubt, and unbelief. Yes. Your God's able, girl. Oh. Man, he loves you. He loves you a lot. Zeroed in on you. I mean, just the love of God that you need to know. Oh, Jesus. And man, just that faith that's built up today. Watch people that are around you that need this message. You just deliver it with some boldness, okay? Because you got that power that lives on the inside of you. Amen. Your God's able. My God's able. So, whatever you're going through, get on through it. And how you handle things, like those boys back there, you know what? I don't even know how you did last night tipping at the rodeo. How'd you do? He gave me a thumbs down. You realize how much confidence the enemy tries to rob from us when we don't do good in rodeo or in sports or in our marriage or in this or that or business? You can just go right. Well, not if you understand and trust your God. He's able. And then all the things that after he says he's able, exceedingly abundantly above all, wow. I'm here to tell you, Let me just do that really last, the very last stamp of it. Look what the very last, where is that at? Look at the very last. According to the power that works in us. Look at verse 21 real fast. This is it. This is the last thing. Ready? To him, who was him? Say it louder. Don't be afraid to say God. To him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. In other words, God then, because you defeated the traps, the trial, the tribulation, God gets all the glory because of your knowledge of him being able to do all through exceedingly abundantly ways. Overflowing his blessing of God, his wisdom of God. All you got to do is just ask and start thinking like God. So, if you're going through some tough things, right where you're sitting, and you don't have to stand for this, if you're going through some tough things or you know someone going through, I mean, they're in the fire right now, I want you to put your hand over your heart, and I want to pray for you right now. Or if you're standing in the gap for somebody, just get your hand over your heart. And y'all know the reason I have you put your hand over your heart when you're right in the middle of the fire and you need some wisdom. You need to, when you put your hand over your heart, we need to get the Word of God from up here in your mind down into your heart. Because that's when manifestation comes. Remember, being a doer of the Word, not just a hearer only. A lot of times we know the Word because we've read it, but we haven't ever done the Word. Well, when you are a doer of the Word, it goes from the head knowledge down into that belief in the heart. So be it, to the glory of God in Jesus' name. So I see a lot of people with their hand over their heart. When I pray this prayer, And the rest of you that things are going great in your life and you don't have your hand, you be believing with people around you that have their hand over their heart. Because they're either going through some tough things or they know someone that's going through some fire. And let's trust God right now. Ready? Father, in Jesus' name, every person with their hand over their heart, I thank you, Lord, that they'll receive the engrafted word to get them through the fire. Get them through the trial or the tribulation. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that they have now the wisdom to know that you, God, are able to do all things. You're able, exceedingly abundantly above all, because of the power that lives on the inside of them. So Father, cause faith to rise now in Jesus' name. Cause their tongue to begin to speak the word of God. Cause their minds to think so that it can get from the mind to the heart. To think victory. To think manifestation of healing. To believe it. To believe it. To believe it. And Father, I just pray over them that peace of God comes. Surpasses all the understanding of why they're going through it. But just cause them to have the victory to get on through it so that others can get victory that are around them. So and then above all, give you all the glory, sir. So Father, I speak victory over their lives in Jesus' name. Say amen. Amen. If you had your hand over your heart, I want you at the count of three to say amen a little bit with some more enthusiasm, like you have victory. You ready? I mean, come on, class. Ready? I mean, when you say amen, you get that determination, the power that lives on the inside of you. Devil, you're not going to defeat me in Jesus' name. Ready? One, two, three.
Amen.
Amen. Now give God praise. Amen? All right. Thank you, Lord. I love you. Oh, Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for hope. Thank you, Lord, that we are someone, not by ourselves, but in Christ. Jesus is our all. And Father, thank you for that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, please. As y'all know, I'm never going to leave a service or of any kind without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus. So the question this morning is, you've heard about how God can do, it's Him that can do abundantly above all. But is He the true Lord of your life? I mean, you've heard how He's the victor, not the victim. He's the one, the head, not the tail. But is He your Lord? In other words, if you died and left this earth and the Bible was true and you stood before God, all of us know that's called the Great Judgment Day according to the Word. It's after you leave this earth. You're going to stand before God. If you've made Jesus, not a denomination, not a preacher, not a church, if you made Jesus the Lord of your life, when you stand before God, He'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter, come on, enter into the rest, the joy of the Lord called heaven." And heaven is a wonderful place. But before you get there, you're going to be judged. Is Jesus your Lord? I'm not talking about things you've done wrong. The judgment day is just, is Jesus your Lord or is He not? If He's not, then God, since He's not a man that He can lie, He cannot lie. If Jesus is not your Lord and you decided to say, "Nope, I don't want to have anything to do with this God stuff. I don't believe in any of that." You can. You got the will to believe that. But I'm going to ask you to not believe that. I'm going to ask you for God to change your heart. But if someone says, "Nope, I don't want to have anything to do with God," then when you stand before God, He'll have to say, "Depart, you worker of iniquity," the Word says. That's a close cousin to sin. When you depart, there's a place called hell. So you have a place called heaven, you have a place called hell. You have a God and you have a devil named Satan. I'm asking you to believe in our God. Someone told me the other day there's 230 some odd promises that have been fulfilled in that Bible over 2,000 years. And there's still scientists that are trying to disprove this word. And they can't. It will come to pass in your life if you just believe. Is Jesus your Lord or is He not? If He's not, I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer and ask Him to be your Lord so that when you die and stand before God, you'll go to the place called heaven and not hell. But I can't make you. It's going to have to be you praying this prayer and believing it. But what I'm going to do is ask all the believers in here to pray this prayer with you. If there's anyone at the sound of my voice in this auditorium or watching that has not made Jesus the Lord of their lives, you've never prayed Romans 10 and 9 that says if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. If you've never done that, do it now. And all of us believers will pray it with you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to ask you, if you don't know what would happen to you if you died, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, make heaven your home by receiving Jesus and pray this prayer. Are you ready? When you pray the prayer, we pray it out loud. We're not ashamed. And again, all the rest of us, we're going to pray it with you. So let's pray it out loud. We're going to ask Jesus to come into our hearts. Ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of my sin. I believe You've been raised from the dead. And today I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. Thank You, Jesus, for being my Savior, for being my Lord, for being my friend. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you meant it, when I count to three, I want you to be bold enough to raise your hand up and say, hey, I just gave my heart to Jesus. Don't be ashamed. Jesus was not ashamed to die for all of us. Don't you dare be ashamed of a Savior saving you from that place called hell. But now you can have heaven here, y'all. You can have a Savior here. So when I count to three, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and gave your heart to Jesus this morning, I want you to raise that hand up with boldness and then just put it right back down when I say three. Ready? One, two, three, go. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate that. Anybody else? Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. So honored. All right, look at me, guys. Thank God. I mean, it's amazing. How many people get saved here? Hey, it's an honor to have a new brother, a new sister in Christ Jesus. We got a new family member. Amen. Listen to me. If you got a Bible, then that means you're my brother and sister in Christ Jesus when you get baptized. Amen? But, man, when I'm hurting, I need you. When you're hurting, you got a big family. We're in the family of Christ, so we got to start building each other up. Amen? My God's able. Is your God able? So let's go out there in that world and start believing that your God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think because of the power that lives on the inside of you. Amen. So you got victory from now on to the glory of the Lord. Amen. All right. Stand to your feet and we'll be dismissed. As y'all know, we have Bible study on Tuesday. We got great Bible teachers, they rotate. There's, I don't know how many, six of them. And they rotate at this time. Don't miss Bible study. 6:30, we fellowship. Maybe people bring a little bit of snacks or something. And And then at 7, we get into Bible study. But listen, that's where you meet people, y'all. Get to know people in the church. We're 200 to 300 people consistently, maybe more. We have about 800 members if everybody come at the same time. But that's how you meet each other. And you start learning each other and how God connects people. Amen? So, Bible study. And then on Sunday morning at 9, we do a Bible study here. And just another opportunity. We had the new believers this morning, correct? Okay. Listen, if you give your life to Jesus, start learning how to be, you know, learn how who you are in Christ. A new believer needs to learn how to read the Bible, etc. The first Sunday of each month, we do a new believers class. So be a part of that. Amen? All right. Let's pray.